morning. Let's go with the message this morning. Come on, buddy, what we got? I hadn't seen this till this morning, which I never see him really until this morning. We write him, here goes. Boom, look at him. Look at him, looking down in that grave. What are you doing? Say that with me, those three words, pretty loud. One, two, three. Bury the enemy. Things has happened to you in your life. People hurt you in your life. Maybe horrible choices you've made. It's altered your life, man. What are you going to do? Keep living like that? Maybe you say, well, I don't do it anymore, but it still haunts me. It still grips me. I got a letter. I got back yesterday, went to my mail, a lot of mail this week. And this series touched a nerve in people, emails, different things like that. Got a letter from someone who wrote me and talked to me about being new in our community. And it's a man. I love it when men write me too, you know, and can just talk to me as a man and telling me about his struggle. And he said, I haven't killed it or maybe quit it yet. But he said, I know it now. I know it. I know it. I know some things. And he said, I can fight this battle now. Amen. He wrote a long letter, a lot of stuff in that letter. Good letter. But a lot of us have inner conflict. Amen. We've got some mess. How many would just raise, I've had some mess, preacher. Let me see some. I've had some mess. How many would say some of that mess still bothers me? It still haunts me. It still, there you go. This series is for us. It can be, and I look at many of you, it can be the loss of a loved one. And that, and what you feel after that, you don't feel perhaps whole or complete. How can I keep going on? Amen. So you got to make this choice. And so it's a crazy, it can be a convoluted idea, but there's a lot of mess that goes on inside of us, a lot of pain. So the title of the message is Bury the Enemy and Keep Moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Stop rubbernecking. Stop looking at it. Amen. Y'all hearing me or not? I'm rocking and rolling now, Raj. Let's go, Bubba. Come on. See what we got. So last week, say these 4 points. We said it last week. Say it with me. Number one, kill it. Render it dead. Number two, quit it. Stop looking at it. The mess in your life, stop looking at it. Pulling it out, thinking about it, thinking about my past, thinking about how bad I've got it. I was hurt. Yes, you were hurt. I agree with you. But what good is that doing if you keep looking at it? Say, and telling your story to everybody. And I know that's hard on you, but it's life, okay? What good does that do? Or you go to the Lord all the time and you just tell Him, why did you let this happen to me? Or why did this happen to me? Like you're going to get an answer? I can't guarantee you're going to get no answer. All right? It happens. Horrible things happen to people on planet Earth. Yes or no? Amen. Horrible things happen. Never thought I'd get the call that my mother was murdered, shot 6 times. We live in a horrible, at times, horrible place. But we're called, Jesus called us to be the what of the world? The what? The light of the world. Amen. We're called to be the salt. Amen. Why do you need light if everything's great? We live in a dark, at times, planet. Amen. A lot of bad stuff happens, and sometimes we bring it on ourselves. So, quit it. Stop looking at it. Number three, say that with me. What? Drag it. Drag it off the road, man. Drag it off the road and cover it up in the blood of Christ. In the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from how much sin? All sin. You might say, well, I didn't do the sin. The sin was done to me. But you meditating on it instead of God's Word, you just running it over and over and over again in your mind, I hate to tell you, that's sin. That is not helpful, and that is not good. And Satan is using that as an advantage in your life. You listening? So drag it off the road, cover the sucker up. Amen. And number four, say it with me, what? Know it. Say those first lines one more time. Kill it, quit it, drag it, know it. One more time. Kill it, quit it, drag it, know it. Now that was last week. Open road ahead. There is open road ahead. Well, I'm 70 years old, you might say, or 75. You know, my road's almost over. Well, why wouldn't you want some open road whatever years you got left? Say. Amen. Say. No, I'm done. God's done with me. No, you done with you. And that's not good. That is not good. What kind of light are you if you just dark? It doesn't make any sense. You have a life to live. You think he's giving you breath to just sit here and exist? He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be a testimony. That's the one thing that this letter that I read that I mentioned earlier that I got talked about my testimony, Gary's testimony. He talked about my testimony had touched him. My mess that I've gone through helped him in his life. He's right there where he's struggling right now. But that's okay. You're going to make it out, Bubba. You hear me? Yes or no? You can make it out of there. So, we saw a little bit earlier, but Amasa took the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib. He shed his bowels out on the ground. He struck him not again, only one time. He died. So Joab and Abishai, say Joab and Abishai. Joab and Abishai, his brother, they did what? They got on with their purpose and pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri, the one who had said, David's not our king. Absalom's dead. We're not going to go back and live under David anymore. And so they revolted against him, and he was trying to create an insurrection against the king. And David said, go get him. And Joab and his brother Abishai left too. Dead Amasa. Where'd they leave him? Lying in the road. And what'd they do? Continued on. They went on down the road, baby. Amen. Everybody looking. All you saw from Joab and Abishai was their rear ends. And that's what you're going to look at a lot in life, unless you get on the stick. You're going to see other people's rear ends in front of you making it, and you're not. And so then you can get angry about them making it and you not. I've had people come to me, why does he let this couple have this kind of good relationship and he doesn't let me have one? Listen, you don't know anything about those people's lives. They're happy. You don't know how hard they've had to work at being happy. Yes or no? Oh, they just had it made. Or people with stuff today. You look at, I don't have anything. They got everything. You don't know how hard people have worked. You have no clue, nor do I, how hard people have toiled, how they saved, how they lived their life so that they could have something today. Y'all listen to me or not? Amen? So you just don't know. That's beside the point. All I know is there's two butts of two people going down the road and I'm standing here and everybody's leaving and they're leaving and I ain't. And they're on their way to do what needs to be done. I'm standing here. Something's got to give, baby. So Joab had no problem with doing what? Say it one more time. Joab had no problem with doing what? Because his loyalty was to who? It was to King who? David. Check yourself. Who's your loyalty to? Is your loyalty to that wife that left you? That husband that cheated on you? Is that your loyalty? I know that's ugly. Is your loyalty to somebody who hurt you? And I hate to say this, who raped you? You're going to give them any more space in your life, the time of day in your life anymore? Yes or no? Amen. That crap that's hurt you in your life? Or are you going to move on? You hear me today? I know that's hard preaching. It's hard. You've lost a loved one. My mama would not want me to place my loyalty and give her my loyalty. And I always think about my mama and how mama was shot, how mama was killed. I can't get on with my life. My mama would say to me, Gary, get on with your life. I'm fine. Your loyalty, son, is to Jesus Christ. Your loyalty is to the Lord, son. Lift up your head. Your redemption's going to draw nigh one day, son. Do your best. I mean, I can still hear mama talking to me like that. Not out loud, but in my heart. It's no trouble for me at all to just ad lib like I do right up here, talking about how my mama's cheering me on. Amen? Because my loyalty is not to my mama. My loyalty is to Christ. I was in a marriage for 28 years. My loyalty was into that marriage. Guys, I know that sounds crazy. You'll not hear many preachers talk like this. I thought my loyalty was supposed to be in my marriage. You're supposed to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. You're supposed to love yourself. You love your neighbor as your what? As your what? Self. If your loyalty is to something where you don't think you matter, you don't have value, you're not part of the equation, that's a problem. Are you hearing me today? So this is, like I said, a convoluted message because it can cover a lot of territory here. But the bottom line is Joab had no problem with moving on because he knew where his loyalty was. It was to King who? David. And doing the right thing. So he moved on. Push me, buddy, because I got to go now. He left burying the dead to somebody else. That's a good point right there. He left burying the dead. Uh-oh, I got to go bury. No, sir. I got to go get that joker is what I got to do. Somebody else is going to clean up this mess. He had orders from the king to stop a rebel and his forces. Say that last part with me. Say it pretty loud. He knew he had a purpose. And that's what we feel. We feel like we don't have a purpose anymore when our marriage has failed. We feel like we don't have a purpose anymore when that person that we lived with for 50 years, who has now passed, 60 years, 30 years, they're dead. But they're alive with Jesus. But we don't think we have a purpose anymore. I don't matter anymore. I feel like a fifth wheel. And you know you feel that way. I know you feel that way. It's hard. It is hard, but you still have a purpose. Say, I still have a purpose. Come on. I still have a purpose. I still have a purpose. God, you're not done with me yet. Matter of fact, who knows what you have for me now? Amen. Who knows what you have for me now? Many don't move on to open roads, say it with me, because they can't get past their past. Can't move on. Can't move on. Men really struggle with this at the loss of a wife. I've watched it many times, not long after. And it happens to women too, not just pointing out men, but I'm a man. I just tend to see with man eyes sometimes. But I've watched many, they just can't live. And they just die. Amen. I don't want to die till it's my time to die. How about say that with me? I don't want to die till it's my time to die. Why do I want to do that for? Say, on God's will. I do think I'm going to get to heaven early one day, earlier than I'm supposed to, and he's going to say, it was all that ice cream you ate. That's what Mitch has been doing. Mitch has been kicking my tail lately. He hasn't called me fat, but he's right there at the door. He's right there. He definitely thinks I need to eat better, need to take better care of myself. And he said, a lot of people are depending on you, especially me and Elise. Amen. So anyway, that's a side story. Yeah, praise the Lord. But anyway, praise the Lord. But listen, they can't move on because the past hurts. Can't get past their past because the past hurts. I can't tell you the number of people that I personally know that still live in so much pain because of something that happened to them 10, 20, 30 years ago. Got a letter, lady. I read the letter from the dear sweet lady who's a friend of mine. 64 years ago, that happened to her. Now, it didn't mean she stopped living, but it's something that still she struggled with in her life. And now she's starting to deal with it and let it go. Amen? Past relationships. Could tell you numerous stories. Past failures that people have made. I can tell you numerous stories. They just can't get on. They just are stuck. I'm stuck. And everybody else is moving. And all they're seeing is rear ends. I don't want to see everybody's rear end. Do you say? Excuse my English. I want some of them to look at my rear end. Amen. Amen. Come on. So the key word here is they can't get past their past. What do I need to do with my past that's haunting me? My past that's hurting me. My past that's holding me back. My past that's keeping me from my purpose. Say it with me. Kill it, quit it, drag it, and know it. Open road ahead. Amen. Open. Look how pretty. Look how pretty. Look how pretty. I don't see anybody's rear end in front of me. Wow, isn't that nice? Yay. That's what I want. Amen. I want that for you. You might say, Clark, where do you come up with these messages? From my own life. From my own struggle. I hugged this sweet lady here who loves me, and I love you. When I went through the deepest pain in my life, I went to the mailbox, and there was a letter from you. There was a letter from you, and you opened up about your pain to me. But you told me how you got on the open road, and you told me I could be there too. And I am, she says, and you are. You are. Can we thank the Lord for people like this? Amen. Praise the Lord, sweetie. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're surrounded with champions in this room. You are surrounded. Well, they're just a lot of old people. I had a lady the other day tell me, you know, I went to your church. I love you, blah, blah, blah. You got a lot of old people. I want you to know that's like spitting on me. And by the way, you know, old people matter too. You hear me, yes or no? But that's not true. We don't just have old people. We got all ages of people at Fellowship Church. God didn't call me to have just a young church. He called me to minister to Inglewood, Florida. Amen? This is where I live, young and old. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what makes us special here. Amen. Say, you know our music here. Well, we got like 65, 70% older people, so maybe our music should be older. No, it's not going to be. It's going to be a blend of great music. We're going to have great music here. If I'm going to have anything to do, I'm not going to sit up there on the front row and go, oh my gosh, what was that? I'm just not doing it. Amen. Yes or no? I'm also not going to sit there and go to sleep with the music. We're going to stay alive. Amen. Why? Because we all matter. Amen. I'm all over the place. Here we go. Roger's back there going, he is nuts. He's been on a cruise. Obviously, it was a nice cruise. Amen. Here we go. Come on. So bury the enemy. We still hadn't got to the scripture today. I got a hush. So Amasa's body now is out of the road. His body is covered up. Now everyone now went on. They're all moving now. They're all moving now. They're all moving with Joab to hunt down and kill the man named Sheba. By the way, don't feel sorry for Sheba. He was a man of Belial. That's just another word for that is a man of the devil. And they're after his tail. He was a terrorist. And they're hunting his butt down. Amen? If that's too hard for you, sorry. Okay? So here we go. They're all together now. Some of the best Bible you'll ever read coming up. Should be a movie. This is great stuff. He went through all the tribes, Joab, of Israel. And he came to the place of Abel and to Beth Makkah and all the Berites. And they were gathered together and went also after him, after Joab. They're all with him now. Everybody's moving now. And they came and besieged him in where? Help me, Abel. They besieged him in this place called Abel of Beth Makkah. So they besieged this man. We got him. 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 Don't you want to be able to say that in your life? I'm there. I'm back. I've made it through the mess. Don't you want to say that? Yes or no? We got the sucker surrounded. Pretty good stuff. And they came and besieged him in Abel. And they cast up a bank against the city. Because these were walled cities. That's what they did. They built walls. Like the walls of Jericho, remember? And this is the way they fought. How did they get in a walled city? They built up a bank. Whole army's working. A lot of rocks. I've seen them. When you go over there and you study the geology and all that kind of stuff of the territory and the archaeology and all that kind of stuff, rather, you see what's left, these ruins. And so they built up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab started doing what to the wall? Bang! Boom! Bang! But can you imagine being inside that city? And that whole army, the army of Israel, the fierce army of Israel. And this is the guy that's going to overtake Israel inside. Huh, that's funny, ain't it? It's amazing what you can do together when you're in unity. Amen. See, they're no more divided. This guy had a plan. He had a small group. But the people now were united under the rightful general. And his name was who? Joab. And so they're banging on those walls. They're just tearing those walls down. You imagine picks and whatever they can do to get into those walls. This is the good part. Then cried a wise woman. Say, wise woman. I'm telling you what. This is great right here. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. She's in the city. She sees what's going on. This old wise woman. She says, "Hear, hear, I pray you unto Joab." She knew about Joab. She had heard of this general. Come here that I can talk with you. Come, old woman. Come here that I can talk with you. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "Yes, ma'am, I am." He was a southerner. Amen. I know he said it. "Yes, ma'am, I am." Then she said unto him, to General Joab, this old woman, "Why go on?" But along the way, there's going to be some wise counsel. So Joab knows what he's supposed to do, but this woman interrupts what he's doing. And she says this, "I am one of them. I'm one of those that people would come to and ask counsel of. I'm one of those." I can imagine her saying, "I'm old now, but I still got some wisdom in me. I'm one of those that are peaceable, and I'm faithful in all of Israel. I'm one of those people, Mr. General." And she says this to him, "You seek to destroy a city. You seek to destroy a city and a mother and a mama right here in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Why are you going to kill us all? Why are you going to do that when there's good people in this town that love God? A lot of people have come to us for help and we've helped them over the years. Why are you going to slaughter us?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow y'all up and destroy y'all. That matters not so, ma'am. That's not why I'm here. But a man of Mount Ephraim, his name is Sheba. He's the son of Bichriel, a man of Belial, a man of the devil. He's lifted up his hand against my king, against David. And here's the deal, ma'am. You give him to me, your city deliver him to me, and I'll depart from this town. Sounds like an old Western, doesn't it? And the woman said unto Joab, say this last part with me. Don't mess with these old women. I'm telling you that right now. Say this with me. Behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. You ain't going to want to do it, but say it anyway. Don't mess. Don't mess with the old women of Inglewood. Come on, praise the Lord. Don't you mess with the old women of Inglewood. They'll flat knock you right out. You kidding me? Say. You know, that's one thing I admire strongly about the black church and black churches, and that I love and out of the old black churches in the South especially that I'm used to. But it's not just the South. It's up North too. They have a real appreciation for the mamas in the church. You hear me? Yes or no? They'll set the mama right up there on the platform. You know what I'm saying? They'll look down there. I mean, they will usher up. If you saw the Aretha Franklin funeral, how they usher those women up, how they treat them with such dignity. You hear me? We can learn something from that. Amen. Say, don't mess with them old women. I'm telling you that right now. That's the way my mama was. My mama was, she was strong. Good woman. But you better duck. She still had something in her, man. She loved God.
But you let somebody hurt me, forget about it. She'd poke their eyes out. She'd gouge her eyeballs out. Crazy. This is a crazy woman right here. So what happened? Don't worry about it, Joab. We'll handle it. So this old woman. Then the woman went unto all the people in her what? In her what? She wasn't angry. She wasn't full of wrath. She wasn't talking down to them. She made the case plain. You see them jokers out there? They're going to kill all of you. Every one of you. Dead, all of you. Me too. But I'm ready to go because I love the Lord. I can hear her talking. But you people and your babies, we got a sucker in the camp. So in all her wisdom, she talked to the folk. And look what happened. Say it with me. And they cut off the head of who? Sheba. Whoop! I know I ain't supposed to talk like this in church, but whoop! The son of Bichri, the son, one of the people of Belial, a man of Satan. And they did what? They did what? Whoop! Boom. There come the head over the wall. This is just a really violent story, isn't it? You know what? Satan hates your guts. He hates your guts. He wants you to stay trapped in the crap. Trapped in the crap. I ought to quote that somewhere. It'll be on a sign. He wants you trapped in the crap. Dina, write that down. Don't let me forget that. He wants you trapped in the crap. Don't you have any love lost for him? You hear me? If you've lost a loved one and you're stuck and you can't move forward, he is tormenting you. He hates you. You hear me, yes or no? If someone betrayed you, he wants you to replay that thing in your mind over and over and over and over. I'm no good. I'm no good. You've done something evil in your life, but you've asked for forgiveness. He wants you to just replay that thing in your mind. He hates your guts. Don't feel sorry for that head rolling over the wall. Did y'all hear me? And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and they cast it to Joab. And Joab did what? He blew the trumpet! Reminds me of that ship that I was just on. We in Cozumel. And you could hear that thing. And I thought, man, I'm late. I don't be lit no Cozumel. I got a bad leg, man. I got to get out of here. So he blew that trumpet long, baby, and loud. And they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Wow. Boy, that was fast, wasn't it? Say this with me. It's one of the most important lines of the whole message. More manageable when I get past the inner conflict that's been dogging me. How can you fight with all that crap on your back? But when you kill it, you quit looking at it, you drag it over there and cover it up. Open roads ahead. Isn't that a great story in the Bible? I love this. You know what? Joab didn't worry about the dead. We're not quite done with the message. We're done with this part. Joab didn't worry about the dead. Did you notice that about Joab? Say, don't worry about the dead. Uh-uh. He had a job to do for the king. His loyalty was to the who. Remember that. I didn't think about that till this morning when I'm just standing here. As much as you love that person that has gone on to the Lord, your loyalty is to be with Jesus Christ. One day you're going to pass. You want him to say, well, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Not your wife. Got it? Yes or no? You won't be seeing your wife's hands that are pierced. You'll be seeing his. Amen. Also, those horrible things that people have done to you. Don't spend another day pledging allegiance to them. Did you hear me? Because they've hurt you, you shouldn't give another You shouldn't give another ounce of energy to that situation. I'm talking about trying to look at it and talk. No. Open road ahead. Joab didn't look back. So he didn't have a problem with burying the dead. And Joab didn't look back. Joab was hurt, man. Joab was demoted. He was treated like dirt. He's the guy that had to fix everything. Joab went on down the road. He went on down the road. Joab had a what? I've not heard too many messages on Joab. This was a good man who can teach us a lot of lessons when it comes to fighting the inner battles that we face. Joab had a what? He had a mission for the king. And Joab did what? Say that with me. Joab accomplished it with what? Wait, let me look back. I mean, he pulled out that little sword. How many times did he stab the Joker? Oh, I forgot Absalom. 3 darts, right? And he goes talk to the old woman. He didn't have to do a dime's worth of nothing. They never even pulled out a weapon. Head comes flying out of the wall. Woo! All right, boys, let's go home. Not every battle is as tough as the one that's holding you back right now. Say that with me. Not every battle is as tough as the one that's holding you back right now. I don't know how I can do it, Pastor. Well, you got to do it. You got to do it. You must do it. Yeah, but I don't know if I can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But I don't. Believe God. Believe that you can. Believe you're alive for a reason. Amen. And go ahead and tell yourself right now, man, I'm getting over this thing. And you know what? I know other stuff's going to come down the road, but I'm stronger now. And probably what I've gone through is not what I'm going to have to go through again. But if it happens again, I can handle it better. Amen. I move forward. When I move forward, I get what? Strength. When I move forward, I get more what? Confident. Not arrogant. The word confident in the Bible is the word hope. I get hope, man, as I move forward in Jesus. Say it with me. I already quoted it, though. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. I wear this. You can get one today absolutely free. Jesus strong. Jesus strong. Amen. Joab blew the trumpet. That's a sign of what? Victory. Joab went back home. Home is a place of what? Rest. Don't you want victory? Don't you want rest? Aren't you tired of the mess and the battle? It's a battle worth fighting. Fight for your future. Fight for today. I'm going to live my life. It's a fight worth fighting for. And wouldn't that be nice to have victory in your life and rest in your life? Yes or no? Amen? Hope this isn't boring you to tears. It's a story of a man, Joab. But this is a story of a man named Gary. I had to take this in my life. I had to just eat it up. I had to fight. I had to fight. I had to fight to get where I am today. That's don't brag on me. Any credit goes to the Lord. Amen. This building did not get built without fighting. You hear me? Fighting. Fighting, fighting, getting remarried in my life. One of the hardest things I ever did. One of the hardest things, not because Kim isn't an awesome person. She's awesome. I mean, I think she's the best possible person for me to have married. She loves a tar out of me. She puts up with all my mess. She's the perfect pastor's wife. You know why? You know why? Because she doesn't get into anybody's business. Did you hear me? Yes or no? You ought to thank the Lord for Kim. That she's not a busybody. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? That she's humble. Amen. She don't come in all bling, bling, look at me. Because I'd be like, bye, bye, I got to get out of here. Come on, amen. She was the perfect person for me, right? But I had to fight. Not her, myself. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Good.
So bury the enemy and keep moving. Jesus is going to speak to us a little bit. It came to pass when the time was come that Jesus should be received up to go to the cross. He steadfastly set his face to go towards where? Can't go there. They'll kill you. He said, that's where my face is. That's where I'm going. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. You could tell he was determined. He had a purpose. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and he rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's why he set his face towards Jerusalem, towards that cross. And they went to another village. That was fine. Because I'm moving on, people. This is Jesus. I'm moving. I'm going to my mission. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head at night. He said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my daddy. Jesus said unto him, say it with me, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the what? The kingdom of God. Sounds like Jesus is heartless. Well, wait a minute. He's the one fixing to go and shed his blood and life on the cross. But I need to go attend this funeral. I know it's your daddy. I know it's hard. But this is the open road. And this is where we're headed. Are you going or not? And to another says, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first and tell my family bye. They're all at home in the house. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I'm sorry. You'll go through things in life that aren't reasonable. You'll go through things in life and it's going to get hard on you. And you're going to have to dig deep and you're going to have to fight hard. Okay? And sometimes you're going to sound like, well, the Lord, you're picking on me. He ain't picking on you. He's trying to get your tail up and move, man. He loves you that much that he can say hard things to you and to me. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You keep looking back, you're going to have a mess. Keep looking. We're almost done. I know I'm killing you here, but keep going. If I'm really going to get past my past and I'm going to bury my inner conflict, I got to focus. Focus. I must what? Follow. I hate to tell you this. I must what? It's hard to forget. You got to work at it. When I go back, Jesus says, or when I look back, say those three words with me. I'm not fit for the kingdom work that God has for me down here. Can you imagine me? The mess I went through, some of you know it. It would have been so sad. I think people would have said it was okay, Gary. We understand. It was hard. I'd have been given a pass if I'd have got out of the ministry. But just think about the people that I would have missed and people that would have missed me in their life. I'm not bragging on me. I'm saying the same thing about you. This world needs you, but we need all of you. We don't want just like two-tenths of you. There's a you inside of you, and we want it. Inglewood's asking for it. You hear me? We want you. But when I go back or I look back, I'm not fit. Why? Because I can't see straight. I can't see straight. I can't plow straight. Who's going to follow somebody like that? Say, guys all over the place. And I can't live straight. My life's a wreck when I keep looking back. I'm trying, but I'm looking back. Jesus said, you can't do both, my friend. Sorry. My words, why can't I do it? Because I'm zigzaggy and I'm always screwed up. Yes or no?
When I look at the past, I live in the past. I try to go forward. I live in the past. I look in the past. I live in the past. I try to go forward. I'm so zigzaggy, and people just look at a screwed up sucker. And that's not what God has for my life. Amen? Two things the enemy uses to keep us from realizing our purpose and our destiny. It's my message, so they're my points. Two things. Number one, death. Death. We all have to suffer and go through death. The death of a loved one. I have a sister right now. Pray for my sister Janice. She had really some serious heart trouble. She's 68. She's my oldest sister. She came here on opening day. Sit right back there. She had a heart surgery. It went good on Friday, but then she suffered a stroke. And so she had to have another surgery, and she's in ICU in really, really bad shape. I love my sister. But the death of my sister, whenever it comes, it cannot stop me. It can't stop me because I'm so great. It can't stop me because that's not God's will for my life. It's to love my sister and to see my sister with my mama when that time comes. Did you hear me? Yes or no? But death stops a lot of people. The death of a loved one. The death of a relationship. It just kills them. They can't move anymore. The number two thing, death. And number two is family. Family. Family tension stops people. It stops them. It just stops them. So much trouble in my family. Struggles in the family. Here's one written by me. Unbalanced affection. Unbalanced affection. What do I mean by that? Working so hard, doing the job of two in a relationship. Did I just make plain English? Yes or no? Is that sensible? When one person has to work their tail off constantly to do everything inside of a marriage, and they feel like they're not loved, they don't matter, that is a big, big problem. Amen. And Satan will use that to kick your tail. Jesus said, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." That's why my loyalty, my faithfulness is to the Lord first. Why? Because I'm a great spiritual guy. No, that's what the Bible teaches us. Because He's the only one that we really can follow. Other people will let us down, man. We'll let them down. But He'll never let me down. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Nobody loves me like Jesus. Say that with me. Nobody loves me like Jesus. Can you say it like you mean it? Nobody loves me like Jesus. Nobody loves me like Jesus. Oh, you don't know how much I'm loved. I'm going to tell you right now to your face. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody loves you like Him. Your loyalty, my loyalty is to the Lord. He that takes not his cross and follows after me ain't worthy of me. He that finds his life, here's how you find your life. Lose it for me, Jesus says. He that loses his life for my sake will find his life. If you'll listen to this message, I'm telling you, you do not have to live in the past. There's a future, there's an open road. Don't look back. Look at Him. And you have no idea what He has planned on that road for your life. Amen? I still have an adversary, the devil, but I don't have all that crap on my back holding me down no more. Amen, say. And I can fight the good fight. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have what? What? Life. And that you might have it more what? That is the abundant life that God wants you to have. My advice to you today, bury the enemy. Bury the enemy. Bury the enemy. And surrender. Not to the enemy, but to Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for His word this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good word today. I needed that again.